Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. As long as I live and troubles rise, I will haste unto his throne. I love the Lord. He bowed his ear and chased my griefs away. No longer will I let my heart grieved why I have time to pray. That's an old hymn that talks about the Lord's deliverance and how he comes through when his people call for him. Let us pray. God, we thank you, O God, for this time that you have given us today, God, to dive into this great and powerful and encouraging psalm in Psalm 30. God, I pray, God, that you would speak. Lord, I pray, God, that you would penetrate our hearts, God, and that you would challenge and encourage us in the ways that we need. God, my prayer is that you will do something in this time, God, that would draw us even closer to you, to allow us to know that you are, in fact, our deliverer, and that you are our strength, and that if we lean into you, we'll realize that trouble may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning light. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a study that shows that the majority of people who seek out and who seek out advice from those wiser than them rarely ever use that advice. They'll come and they'll ask for advice in life or finances. You know, people who've come and asked me about how to buy a car. Yeah, I used to sell cars. People come in, you know, can I get some advice? You give them some very sound advice and they do something different. If you're one of those people in this room, I'm not talking about you. But there's something about us that even when we know that we don't know and we inquire for wisdom, that we still want to learn things the hard way. My grandfather used to say that you don't believe fat meat is greasy. That when you get told something and you're told that it's bad for you, but you don't believe that it's bad for you, life has to teach you. Some people just simply call it being hard-headed. And sometimes my grandfather would say that a hard head causes a soft behind, and not in those exact words. But often we as people have to learn the truths of life the hard way. Even if we get great sound wisdom, even if we're under those who can lead and guide us and be strength for us, there is something about us as human beings that just have to learn. We have to touch the fire to make sure that it's hot. And so we find ourselves in a psalm with David. After David has lived an experience that has proved to him his need of the Lord, and also has proved to him that the Lord is a deliverer. And he compels us in this text to worship and to praise God, because he is, in fact, a deliverer. He delivers us from sickness, from death, from our enemies. And most importantly, the Lord delivers us from ourselves. We dig into this text, we see David extols the Lord. And if I would break this sermon into three different parts, I would break it into, and follow me with it, orientation, disorientation, and a new orientation or reorientation. And so in the beginning of this psalm, David says, extol the Lord. He compels us as believers to worship God, praise him, because he has pulled me or rescued me from the depths, from the pit. He has not allowed his soul to go down in the depths, but he has kept him from death itself. David is saying that the Lord has acted in his on his behalf as his savior, as his rescuer. That he had found himself in a situation that he could not save himself from. The circumstances were dire and dark, and it even was to a point to where his enemies were able and were looking like they were going to have the ability to rejoice over him in his fallenness, in his brokenness, in this circumstance. But he said the Lord rescued him. Not in his own strength, not in his own power. But the Lord reached in and pulled him out of something that he could not get himself out of. And in that, David says that he has a new orientation to praise the Lord. And he says, you have an orientation to praise the Lord too, because I am not in this alone. You might not have been in an exact situation that I was in, but the Lord has rescued you too. That you have been in some situations that you couldn't get yourself out of. You've received a diagnosis that you didn't have the power to heal yourself from. You've been in a situation that you put yourself in, but you couldn't pull yourself out of. But the Lord reached in and pulled you out. That the Lord is a rescuer. The Lord is a deliverer. And for that, he should be praised. He should be praised because he rescues his people. Rescuers should be extolled and lifted up. Those who deliver those in need should be celebrated. I know we live in a society where we always celebrate heroes, because we find ourselves often are people who, if called upon, are fearful and often wouldn't step into that place. And we like to think, and we like to say things like, hey, if I was in a situation where I could save people, I would step up to the plate. But the reality shows is that oftentimes that is not the case for us, that we see people in need. We see dangerous situations. If there's any evidence of that to show, what would you do is some evidence of that, that we see what people really do in some situations. But when we have a person who actually steps up, who is a hero, who is a rescuer, we celebrate. One recent example is the gentleman who stepped in and wrestled the gun away from a shooter at Waffle House. And his reasoning was that, why did you step up and do that? And his reasoning was, I was afraid for my own life. I wasn't trying to save anybody but me. I knew that if he was able to reload the gun, that he was going to shoot me too. And so I needed to do something. But when somebody is heroic, we celebrate them. And David is calling us into worship a God who is a deliverer and hero for us. But why particularly is David so thankful to the Lord? What has happened in his life that has caused him to be in these circumstances and allowed the Lord to reach in and rescue him out of these circumstances, out of this position, and has created this posture of praise in David? People want to speculate often when they read Psalm 30 about what David is really talking about. But what we really get evidence of is that he's struggling with, and this is the second point in disorientation, is that David is dealing with, one, he's dealing with some type of sickness, something that's going on in his body. He's dealing with the fact that he is near death. And also the fact that his enemies are looking to take advantage of the opportunity. And God has protected him from all of that. But most importantly, David is saying that the Lord has saved him from his self-sufficiency and his self-righteousness. We look at this verse and he says this. He says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. It is common for us to engage with the issue of suffering in two ways that are unbiblical. And David is engaging with them in both of these ways. The first is that we believe that good things happen to good people, and that bad things happen to bad people. And even us as believers who have a high view of God's sovereignty, who have a strong view of God's grace, we still believe that suffering can be avoided as long as you are good. As long as you are faithful to God, you for the most part can avoid suffering. And so we live our lives trying to be good, thinking that if we avoid certain things, that suffering and bad things will not come our way. But what a tutor life is for us in this area, that we learn that no amount of personal piety, personal goodness can keep us away from the difficulty and suffering that life brings. The word of God says, if you are alive, you will experience trouble. Days are short and full of it. And we quickly realize that there is no running, there is no hiding from trouble. That trouble comes from the good for the good, and it also comes for the bad. This the thing with the bad is that they sometimes chase the trouble and it gets to them a little bit quicker. And us good ones, the trouble has to run at a faster pace to get us, but it always gets us. That we run into difficulty in life. We run into sickness. We run into hardship. We run into heartache and loss. And we discover that though we were good, suffering is still there. Secondly, we believe that wealth and success can buffer us from suffering. That if we become successful enough, we make enough money, we get in the right neighborhood, around the right friends, that we can buffer ourselves from suffering. There's enough things that we can accumulate in life that would keep us from suffering, from difficulty. And then we get that and we realize that the difficulty and suffering is right there waiting for us. No matter what our bank account looks like, no matter how many degrees we have on the wall, no matter where we've ascended to socially, that suffering and difficulty is there. And it's often that when we've accumulated that and we come to that reality that is difficult for us to handle. Because you realize that you've done all the right things. You've been all the right places. You crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's. Why is this happening to me? But as we see with David, the problem that we have is that we have become self-sufficient and self-righteous, that we lean on our own strength. And this is not just the problem of the wealthy and the privileged, but it's also a problem of anybody on down the line. That we want to be able to say that we are our own strength, that we take care of ourselves, that we do for ourselves, and that we keep ourselves. And that even David, the one who is after God's own heart, falls into the trap of drinking his own Kool-Aid and thinking that he is more than he is. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Lastly, the thing that disorients us in the night and is that we think that suffering is only beneficial, useful, if we understand its purpose. I need to know everything that God is using, what he's taking me through for. I need to know all the benefits, all the levels that God is going to use this to bless me. I need to understand why I am going through this. And if I don't understand why, the suffering is useless and pointless. And we struggle with the problem of pain and the issues of suffering because we do not understand the inroad. And so when we're in the midst of suffering, when we're going through difficulty, we wrestle with ourselves, we wrestle with God because he has not answered every question that we have put out to him. And it seems like everything that is happening How can God use this? This is supposed to be for my good. How? It doesn't make any sense. We always want the answer. There's a story in Mideastern folklore of a man whose only horse ran away. His neighbor comes to him and says, "Oh, that's such bad luck that your only horse ran away. What a shame." A week later, the man's horse comes back with 20 other wild horses. The same neighbor walks up to him and he says, "Oh, that's very good luck. Your horse came back with 20 other horses. How lucky are you?" The man says, "What do I know about good luck and about bad luck?" The next day, the man's son goes out trying to tame one of the wild horses, and the horse kicks the man's son in his leg and breaks his leg. The man comes over, the neighbor comes over, "Oh, that's such bad luck that you got those horses and that your son broke his leg." The man says, "What do I know about these things?" A few days later, a group of thugs come into the town and are recruiting people to join their gang. They come to the man's house and they want his son, but they see that he's broken his leg, and so they move on to the next house. The neighbor says, "It's such good luck that your son broke his leg that the gang didn't get him." And the man says, "What do I know about these things?" We see even in that short window of events that based on the circumstances that we believe we understand whether or not something happened to us is good or bad and what use it has in the long run. But often when we judge circumstances in the moment, we rarely see what God can do and how God can use anything to benefit or bless us. Of course, suffering sucks, and how and why would God use difficulty in my life to so-called bring about good? Doesn't make any sense. But if any time that we look back over our lives, we see that we've been shaped far more by the difficult things that we've experienced than we have been by the happy times. And when we look back over life, we see this, and it reminds me of something that the resident wise man, Steve Unger, always says to me. He says that life is lived forward, but it's understood looking backwards. That normally when we are on the other side of difficulty, we are on the other side of suffering, sometimes, and not even always, we're able to look back and say, "God, I'm thankful, even though I struggled in that time. I'm thankful for what you brought me through and how you have delivered me." And David knows his situation, probably brought on by himself. And he knows that the Lord has rescued him. And he says that because of what the Lord has done for me, because he rescued me and saved me from something that I did not deserve to be rescued from, that I would allow and I would make this circumstance reorient my life, that it will now change the posture by which I engage with the Lord. He calls us and he has challenged himself to rededicate his life to the praise and the worship of the Lord, his deliverer. And we asked the question, why is he worshiping God? First reason is that the Lord's anger does not last forever. That even if we were people who thought we were sufficient in ourselves, self-righteous, and that the Lord in his love disciplined us and chastised us and took us through some difficulty to show us that we are unable to take care of ourselves, that his anger does not last always. The song that says, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. I'm so glad. And that is the linchpin of this verse in his joy, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That God does not just leave us as his children in these dark places, but God pulls us out. That he has promised that dawn will come, that the sun will rise, and that the situations will be different. Secondly, he is celebrating because the Lord rescues and saves those whom don't deserve it. He saves us when we don't deserve to be saved. And that is all of the time. Because of our fallenness, because of our brokenness, we deserve whatever happens to us. But the Lord is a deliverer of his people, even when they're wrong, even when they deserve what they're going through. God delivers them anyhow. And that the Lord delivers us for his own glory. The Lord doesn't rescue you for you. As hard as that might be to hear sometimes, but the Lord rescues you for his glory. That you belong to him. And that the testimony of your life gives glory to God. The reorientation of your life gives glory to God. And that is the purpose of the life of every believer, is that our lives would give God glory. Often we get off track, but God reorients us in life, that our lives will continue to show forth and be testaments of his goodness, his love, and his glory. And then David says this, that you have turned my mourning into dancing, and you have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I give you thanks forever. This is a call for worship from us who have been delivered. We look at our lives and we look at what we have been through, and we should praise God. Even if we're in the midst of difficulty right now, we should praise God, because in this text, we have a promise of dawn, that trouble may not endure. It may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That the Lord's anger does not last forever. That circumstances are temporary, but we serve a God who is eternal. And he deserves our praise. We are commanded to worship him. But it shouldn't take a command for us to worship him. We should look at our lives. Look at the things that God has rescued us from. The ways in which God has delivered us. And we should be compelled within ourselves to worship God. Shouldn't be ashamed to give God a little humble brag. that in the posture that we have to him, Lord, all that I am is you. You sustain me. You make my mountain stand firm. It is because of you that I cannot be moved. It is because of you that the world can't overcome me. It is because of you that I have all that I have. Not because of how smart I am, not because of how hard I work, but it's only because of your grace. And it is by your mercy that I've seen another day. And I give God glory for that alone. That if nothing else ever happens in life, that I know that the Lord has already done enough for me. That he's already rescued me enough times. He's already saved me enough. He's already provided enough for me. That I should praise him and not be silent. For the Lord is my deliverer. And that everything I have is in him. Let us pray. God, we are thankful for you, O God. We are thankful, God, that you are our deliverer. Lord, that you save us from ourselves. God, that you save us though we don't deserve it. God, we are grateful, God, that your anger does not last forever. And God, that joy comes in the morning. Reorient our hearts to understand that you are everything. And that if we but lean into you, that we can depend on you for our deliverance. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name.